If you remember our first week in this class, kind of as a refresher, we determined that if we have experienced the salvation of our Lord, then He wants us to see as He saw, to feel as He felt, and do as He did, which is love lost people. The second week we talked about what is evangelism. We discussed what evangelism refers to, our human efforts of proclaiming the message that Jesus Christ is Lord. We proclaim the gospel with the hope that our audience responds by trusting, repenting, and obeying Jesus. And then the third week, using verses in Matthew 5, we talked about being salt and light. In Ephesians 5:8, we read that Jesus didn't tell us that we should be salt and light, but that we are salt and light. Then in Luke 15, we discussed three parables: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost or prodigal son. And from the three parables, we concluded that evangelism also includes seeking someone who has fallen away from the faith. This week, we're going to be looking at a passage that is not an evangelistic story, as we have done previously, but a passage that discusses how our hearts should be engaged in evangelism. Before I go any further, Jana, there's a sack in Todd's office that goes to Grant. And when you see it, you'll know what it's about. Okay?
Oh, I get it.
You got it? Okay.
You're awesome.
I was told to get them out of the house. I'll leave it at that. And they know what it is. It's a private joke. A little private joke.
It's not anymore.
No? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, because you don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I do.
The sack in the office.
Huh?
Lipscomb
stuff.
Nope. It's clean, though.
Yeah, it is.
We don't know the punchline.
You don't. You'll have to ask Jana. So, if we are not acting in love when we evangelize, what we are acting in? Pride, selfish ambition, and self-centeredness. If the desire to evangelize lies in oneself, we are missing what it means to have God's heart for the lost. Love is the basis of evangelism. Without love, we are nothing and we gain nothing. So we're going to start out in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. If you have a Bible or on your phone, if you'll turn to that. 1 Corinthians 13. And I will ask someone to read verses 1 through 8a, the first part of verse, down to the first part of verse 8.
Yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Okay, thanks, Deborah. So, our first question. What is your reaction when you hear a clanging cymbal? What is your reaction?
Shocking.
Huh? Sometimes shocking?
Especially out of the blue.
Yeah, when you're not expecting it.
Yeah. Yes, dear, I'll do that now.
I don't know. Do you kind of cringe up? Cover your ears, maybe? Well, I found a good example of this. And we go to the number one best show ever on TV.
Amen.
And let me set this up. And if you're an Andy Griffith fan, you probably remember this incident. Andy's getting the Mayberry Band ready to go to the state competition, and Barney buys a new instrument, and he wants to show it off to Andy, and here it is. And y'all have to, if you can't see, you can watch the monitor. So is that kind of how we would react?
Yeah.
You think? So, question number two. What happens if you speak without love? What happens if you speak without love?
That's what they do.
You sound just like that, aren't you? Just like that. And what will happen?
You'll get that reaction.
Runs people off.
You'll get the reaction.
Just like Andy did. He kind of cringed up and
shutting down.
Yeah, trying to close him off.
Sometimes you get an equal and opposite negative reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the law of physics, equal and opposite force?
Yeah, for every action there's opposite reaction, something like that. So what does verse 2 tell us happens if we have all the answers and our faith, but have not love? Useless. What does verse 2 say, actually?
Nothing.
We are nothing. It depends on your translation. It may say something slightly different. What does it mean to gain nothing? Verse 3. What does it mean to gain nothing? Okay, what was the first part that you said?
Doing things for the wrong reason.
Doing them for the wrong reason, okay.
Because, I mean, we're supposed to do things out of love.
Right.
So if we do them for out of some other motivation, it doesn't mean
all right.
Well, realize this verse talked about giving everything you owned away for somebody else, even giving your own body. And in, I think the King James said, get my body to be burned.
Right.
So you are a martyr. You've given everything. But you did it without love, it was totally worthless.
Absolutely. You're wasting your time.
Your body, your money, your effort.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Just might as well just throw it in the river, whatever. Anybody else?
Do you think people can evangelize by knowing this?
Necessity.
Yeah, you got to know this.
It's the core of that.
Yeah, but
you talking about would people evangelize if they?
Do you all of a sudden change your motive for what you're doing to love?
I'll be honest. I don't think someone will evangelize until they know this.
Yeah.
I don't think they will either.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if you were evangelizing for the wrong reason and you read this, would you change your reason?
I hope so.
If you've been,
how would you change it?
It's an attitude, you know. I don't know. It may not change overnight.
I don't think without love you can evangelize.
Yeah, I agree. But
you might look at yourself more critically than you otherwise would by hearing this.
Yeah.
You might just say, yeah, I am doing it for the right reason, even if you weren't doing it for the
right
reason.
Right.
And this spurs you on to really look at yourself.
I mean, you got to have something to direct you on a new path. So the path to understanding full love isn't the next step. It's on down there on the journey. But this does take you off into a new direction on understanding where you need to be.
Bernard?
Attitude. You can have the wrong attitudes out there because you may be just looking for the numbers.
Yeah.
Wrong attitude, wrong motive.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people out there because they are bringing in dollars to that congregation.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. So, yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
But have the wrong motive for doing it.
And next week we're actually going to talk about some motivation. What the kind we should have and the kind we shouldn't have. And that's part of the kind we shouldn't have.
Well, Jesus' disciples ask him, you know, what about these people that are casting out spirits? You know, should we come down fire from heaven and destroy them?
Yeah.
They shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Jesus.
And what'd he say?
He said, you're either with me
or are you without me? Yeah.
If you take an example of this, I think is, when he talks about the giving, the widow, and the rich people, one's giving, so look at what I gave.
Yeah.
And the other one's giving because
she wants
to. They truly wanted to, in part, to help somebody.
Yeah.
That's, like Bernard said, it's all, everything in Christianity boils down to your attitude and what you're doing,
which is your heart. Yeah, same as your heart.
I think a lot of people can do this or have done it out of guilt.
Yeah, that's true.
They feel like if I don't do this, then I'm not really a Christian.
Right.
And so I got to prove that I'm really a Christian.
I need a check mark.
Yeah. And so I'm going to evangelize, and I think that is, it's a bad, because that's essentially legalism.
Yeah.
And it's form of legalism where you feel like you've got to earn your way to heaven.
Right.
So I think this is very good. It tells us this. I'm just trying to figure out how you get people to love. Because, like they said, we won't even do this if we
without it. Yeah.
Without.
You can't. I look at it like, you know, what's the adage? You bring a horse to a river, but you can't make him drink, type of thing. You can't force people to have love. Either they have it or they don't. Yeah. Yeah. And you can't force anybody to do that. I mean, that's them. They have to do it. Do I see a hand over here?
You can't force them, but you can influence them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can sway.
Yeah. David?
I was thinking on the original question, would someone be evangelizing? I don't think someone will be called to evangelize without the love. They could fall out of that love and start getting distracted by the attention, by other things, and I think they're, you know, that demands a refocusing. But I think at the beginning, I don't think it starts at all without some level of love.
Exactly.
And that love will change.
Right. Right. The degree of it. Your degree of it will change.
There's a lot even of the type of love out there that's. Like, I guess what Wayne's maybe talking about is not based in true love. Like, you look, there's a lot of different religions out there, a lot of false religions, yet they evangelize that religion. You know, maybe it's out of love, but like you see, what brings to mind, like you look at like these things in the past, like Jerry Jones and some of these other guys that start these cults.
Yeah.
But they evangelize that heavily. But only for their own glory. Really.
Yeah.
They're doing it for that. So that's evangelism without love. And maybe he's talking along these lines. If I do all these things, but without love for God and my fellow man, not love for myself.
Right.
Then you're nothing. Like, you know, it's that whole thing, like, you got your reward. You prayed on the corner.
Yeah.
Said, wow, what a religious person.
Yeah. Yeah. Good points. Number 5, why would we give away our possessions if we're not doing it out of love? Kind of along the same lines.
See me.
See me? Attention, for show? Attention? Yep.
Tax deduction.
Tax deduction. Tax deduction. So why do we not gain anything unless love is involved? Again, we've kind of hit on that. Attitude, just going through the motions. Like Wayne says, maybe putting a check mark under that category so we can say, look what we've done. So verses 4 through 7, what does this tell us about who we should be when we evangelize? Who should we be like when we evangelize?
Christ Jesus.
Very good. So what characteristics should we have? And which should we not have? Based on verses 4 through 7.
Right.
Selfish.
Wait a minute. Let's go over the ones we should have first.
Patient, kind, no envy, no boasting, not proud, not dishonor others, not self-seeking, not angered, and no remembrance of wrong.
Trust, hopes, and perseveres also in that list. And how about the ones we should not have? Some of you have already said a couple.
Pride and arrogance.
Pride, arrogance. Self-centeredness.
Delighting in evil.
What?
Delighting in evil.
Delighting in evil. How about easily angered? And keeping score. Yeah. So what characteristics do we need to grow in? All the haves. Yes, ma'am.
I think we need to grow in knowing how much God loved us. We need to love ourselves. And when we realize how much we were loved and how much He loved us,
then we can share that.
It's easier to share.
Yeah. Once we realize how much love He gives us, then makes it easier, hopefully, to share that.
We love because He first loved.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. What characteristics of love stick out to you in the context of evangelism? And this is kind of a personal thing if you want to answer. What characteristics of love stick out to you in the context of evangelism? I wrote down not proud, does not dishonor others, and not easily angered.
I think also we have to understand that we are not there to change someone because we get impatient.
Yep.
And I think we have to understand we're there to share. We're there to tell what God did for us.
Right.
We're there to be a reflection of His love. Not to shake our finger in their face and say, you got to do different.
Yeah.
You got to do something else. You need to be at church. You
Yeah.
We really do get impatient. We think we told you. What's your deal?
Duh, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Bernard?
We got to have that agape love.
Exactly.
In spite of where they are,
yeah,
we should do what Christ would want us to do in those instances. Because, you know, our language is love. A lot of people don't understand that there are different types of love.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have to have that agape love. If we are out there presenting ourselves as being Christians, we need to love them in spite of where they are, what they're doing, that sort of thing. Because it's up to us to give them the word. It's not up to us to change them.
And remember, our first week we talked about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And where did Philip start with the eunuch, with the Ethiopian?
Where he was.
Yeah, he didn't say, well, don't, you know, you shouldn't read this. You should be reading this. Or let me tell you about this. He took him, started him where he was, which was Isaiah, and then took him forward from there. And sometimes we have to do that, you know, when we're talking to someone. So.
Amen. In Ephesians
3,
he talks about how wide and deep and high.
Right. Yeah. Right. Since you brought up Ephesians, Gary Coburn's going to teach Ephesians beginning in December for the winter quarter. And he's going to answer all your questions about election and predestination.
Every one of
them. Because that's how Ephesians starts out, and it's always a debatable subject. So how does it tell us to treat the person we are evangelizing to? And we've hit on that. Be patience and kindness. Do not dishonor them. Try to understand where they're coming from. And do not burn bridges. That's not scriptural, but that's what I wrote down. Do not burn bridges.
It's a modern reflection of a biblical concept.
Yeah.
Hey, Clint, I think one of the things that we miss on this is what they were talking about before love.
Uh-huh.
And because he was talking about all these spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
And then he goes right in and he says, and now I'll show you a more excellent way. And I never saw this at first, but then I started thinking about it. Why is he showing us an excellent way to do what?
Yeah.
And it's an excellent way to do what the gifts did.
Right.
And I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to get us to transition from putting so much importance on these
the
gifts,
works
were like you were speaking in tongues,
yeah,
and you were able to interpret, you were able to do miracles. He was trying to get us to transition from that to a more excellent way where love was the confirmation,
right,
of the gospel.
And even if you know, whatever gift or gifts you had, if you were doing them without love, exactly what we're talking about here.
Right. But he was saying, this is essentially doing what those gifts did. Was it confirms to that person you're speaking to,
right,
that this is real.
This is important. Yeah.
This is really a good news message.
Yeah.
Because you have love for that person.
Yeah. Betsy.
So if you can't evangelize with love, should you not evangelize at all? Should you seek other avenues?
Yeah.
Should you fake it till you make it?
That's a good question.
Again, it goes back to what Wayne started with. If you're not going to have love, you're probably not going to be going toward evangelism.
You're not going to do a good job of it anyway.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Someone else have a comment?
Simon the sorcerer, what?
Yeah.
He wanted to buy the Holy
Spirit.
Yeah. Wine. So it made him look good.
Make him look good, yeah.
Where he could heal the sick and raise the dead. Want to do that out of love,
yeah,
for mankind. He wanted to do it out of love for his pride,
right?
And that changes. It's no longer evangelism. That's just putting on a show.
Yeah, exactly.
And with all the hurt and the pain of being on this earth, sometimes I think that people just have to know that they can trust you.
Yeah. Right.
Because that's not our
department. Right. Exactly. And that's
if you are telling a story, and if that wants to be your definition of evangelism, whether you mean to or not.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it that some people can't hear any sermon because of how loud they're seeing your life? So you are sharing the message of what God is or is not doing in your life, whether you need to be or not.
Okay, I've given you three thought questions. We're not going to answer those out loud. Those are for your own thinking. What areas of love do I need to grow in? And that kind of goes with what Wayne's talking about. Who do I think I can love into the kingdom? And then Kalia's homework, how can I purposely act in love towards someone in my life this week? So those are kind of your homework questions. Our next few verses gives us an overview of the work of the Holy Spirit in evangelism, and it illustrates how the Spirit is the revealer and testifier of our faith. 1 Peter 1, 7 through 12. Someone wants to read that real quick.
I think you have to back up to 6, though.
All right, go ahead, Connie.
In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into.
All right. What is the goal of faith? Verse 9.
Salvation.
What is the goal of evangelism? And we talked about that in lesson 2. Spread the word. I had a nice sentence for lesson 2. Does anybody remember?
Preach
to proclaim the gospel with the hope that our audience responds by trusting, repenting, and obeying Jesus. Any comments? To proclaim the gospel with the hope that our audience responds by trusting, repenting, and obeying Jesus. Why is this the goal?
If you think about why would you even tell someone the gospel, it should be because you love them.
Right.
But you care that you don't want that person to go to hell.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And your thought process should be, I am saving that person from eternity.
Yeah.
Where they're just
well, God's going to save them, but you're...
Yeah, right. This is a message that
yeah.
can save them.
Yeah.
And if you think about a message that maybe you went somewhere and got something for free, which this is free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got something for free, you go and tell people.
Exactly.
It's also what Todd talked about today. It's not just eternity. It's the fact that we have the power of Christ now in our life. It transforms us.
Yeah. And it's not a contest to see, I'm going to make it and you're not. I want to make it and I don't want you to. Our attitude is, I'm going to make it and I want you to. Not just everybody in this room, but that should be our attitude. Yes, the answer I had put down for this question is the Great Commission, and just happened Todd preached on that, so he got my jive there. So, number four, what does the Holy Spirit do in this passage? Verse 12. What does the Holy Spirit do? Revealed. Revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. So now run over to 1 John 5, 7 through 12. Someone would read that for us.
For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts his testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Okay, does anyone have a translation that actually breaks it down into Father, Word, and Holy Spirit? Our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I stumbled over that for that reason.
Yeah, yeah. The NIV should have a footnote if you're looking at NIV. It talks about the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Just for your trivia type of thing, some translations don't even have that verse, and some of them put part of verse 8 in with part verse 6. So just a little thing I ran across in my studies. So why does John mention three witnesses? This is not a question on your sheet, but why does John mention three witnesses?
Those were required in the Jewish language. At least two were required to accept any testimony.
Exactly. You had to have at least two, and he threw in the third just for the extra benefit of it. And that goes back to Deuteronomy 19 verse 15 is where that comes from. So who is it that overcomes the world? Verse 12. Who is it that overcomes the world?
The Son.
Whoever has the Son. Whoever said that. Whoever has the Son of Life. Is our purpose in evangelizing to overcome the world? All right, which is the world, right? We're to be in the world, but not of the world. So what is the Spirit, and what does the Spirit do in this passage? What is the Spirit, and what does the Spirit do in this passage?
The Spirit testifies.
Okay. is part of the witness.
Isn't it part of the Godhead that lives in us?
Yes. Yes. And it's one of the witnesses that we talked, the verse talks about. And how does the Spirit help us when we evangelize?
With all things to you remember.
All right. Helps you remember. Helps. What else?
And it also helps you guide you through situations.
Okay.
And it is what then dwells in us when we are baptized.
All right. But when we're out evangelizing, how does the Spirit help us? I mean, you're right, but I want to put it down where the rubber meets the road, as we say.
It helps you in all ways. I think that the Spirit's in you, relying on that, depending on God. You're braver. You remember better. You know, you find the right words to say. When I study with people, I always like to pray and ask for the Spirit that got me in worse because I don't know what to say. You know, but you'll say things and remember things.
Words that come to you have no idea where they came from.
It may not help somebody else.
Right.
But it helps you know what to say for that person that you're talking to.
Right. Bernard?
Back to the Ethiopian eunuch. He was seeking.
Yes.
If a person is seeking, the Holy Spirit will intervene with you and that individual to help you understand what is being taught. So, in my opinion, that's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit does.
You're all correct.
In verse 6, it says that it is the Spirit who testifies.
Right. Through us. He's testifying. He's using us to testify through.
We don't have the burden of having to
right.
think this is us doing
it. Yeah.
But we just have to have the courage to initiate it.
Yeah. But how... Right.
To fulfill God's purpose in you.
And that even goes to opening doors for us, helping us see that the door is open. Also, like we've said, it gives us the words to say, opportunities he puts in front of us. So he does a lot of things, the very simple and then the very, very
miraculous
is a good term. Thank you.
If you think about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. No.
So if you ask for that kind of guidance and you get ready to teach, you're probably in good shape.
Exactly. So what testimony is greater than our own? Verse 11. God's. Yep. So now 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12. Someone will read that for us. How much time? Oh, see, already. Uh-oh. Okay.
We must not put Christ to the test as some did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall.
Oh, okay. What version are you reading from?
You were reading 1 Corinthians 2.
I thought that was strange. Yeah. I mean, I copy and paste it, and I figure, well, maybe I got the wrong verse. But anyway.
I know you're going to shame me.
I just asked which translation.
No, I'm going to start with 9 again.
Okay. That's fine.
But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thought of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand these things freely given us by God.
Okay. So I'll again ask, what translation were you reading?
I don't know. NIV.
Okay. Yeah, I think my... Yeah. I go back between NIV and the English Standard, so...
Who? This is the ESV, Study Bible.
English Standard, yeah. So who knows the thoughts of a man? God, the Church, Holy Spirit, yeah. Who knows the thoughts of a man and the thoughts of God? The Spirit. Verse 11 again. With whose wisdom do we speak?
The Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I was going to say that
again. That, yeah, it does
mean,
yeah.
You want to give us an example, Teresa?
If we tell somebody something that is not of God, then we're speaking of our own spirit.
Exactly. Or even Satan's spirit to some degree. Depends on what we say. How does this apply to evangelism? How does this apply to evangelism? We talked about it a little bit earlier. How does the Spirit... When the Spirit gives us wisdom and how to speak, how does that apply to evangelism?
Well, it's going to be far superior to anything we can come
up. Absolutely.
Well, verse 13. Dan's going to read verse 13.
Sure. And we impart this in the words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual.
Okay.
Comes from the
Holy Spirit.
From the Spirit.
Exactly. He gives it the word. Have you ever been in a situation, and we talked about it, I think Dwayne mentioned it, been in a situation when you're talking to somebody and you say something or use different words that you might not ever have used before in a surrounding? Where did that come from? From the Spirit. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Now you're looking at a guy though that was baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he was able to do things that we can't do.
Right.
I mean, he could raise the dead.
Yeah, he had. Yeah. He had the gift of miracles. Yeah.
And so we can't say that, you know, you're just going to depend on the Holy Spirit to give you this knowledge. It's our responsibility to feed on the Word of God. Otherwise, he ain't got much to work with.
Exactly.
And so we gotta constantly study, so that when we do deal with somebody, that the Spirit can work with us and in us.
Right.
Otherwise, we're not gonna be like he was, where these guys were writing the scriptures, and they were, and you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things that there would be no mistakes in.
Right.
You know, we don't have that kind of Holy Spirit.
No,
still going to make mistakes.
Right.
But if we feed on the Word and try to fill ourselves with God's Word, then when we work with somebody else, the Spirit can work through us to bring that to our mind, even though we might have forgotten.
Yeah.
To deal with whoever it is we're talking to, trying to bring them to Christ.
Yeah. Wayne, you had your hand up?
Yeah, you may be going to talk about this, but in verse 14 it says the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
So that could be the Word, right?
Yeah.
There. If you don't believe the Word,
yeah,
then you probably don't have the Spirit.
Right.
And if you, and then it says, for they are foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So I think that one of the things the Spirit does for us is it helps us believe that this is truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we read it, we should accept it as truth.
Yeah. And it's hard to sit down and do a Bible study with someone if the first thing out of their mouth says, well, I don't believe what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You might as well close it up and go, because you're not going to do any good there. So.
Well, that tells you where your starting point is. Well, they're not going to have the Spirit yet if they're not Christian. So you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, your actions are going to be your evangelism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have come about it in a different direction. So what does the Spirit do in this passage?
God gives us wisdom.
Helps us understand what God has freely given us, verse 12. So, two questions. Why should we utilize the Spirit in evangelism, and how do we do that? How do we utilize the Spirit in evangelism?
We allow for control.
All right. And how do we get that?
Getting out of our own, I need to do this, I need to do that, this checklist mentality, and just starting and talking to someone and see where the Spirit leads.
Right.
Sometimes it's eye-opening even more to myself
than
the person I'm talking to.
Well, how about, I'm sorry.
The guidance that the Spirit provides us is a lot of the Bible.
Yeah.
That's the guidance. There's a lot of guidance in there.
Yeah, there is. It's a training manual.
Being guided by that, we're really not being guided by the Spirit.
Yeah.
But we also
just the book study of guidelines
and pray. Because without studying and prayer, you're not going to lead you.
Here's what I wrote down. Be still, pray for help, and listen.
Yeah.
All right? We should take time to meditate and listen to the Spirit. So,
without the praying and study, you're just on your back to your checklist.
Yeah.
Well, and that's how the Spirit teaches you the Word, and it gives you understanding as you study the Word.
There's right.
Power of the Holy Spirit, not through the power of ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Next week, we're going to get down to the meat and bones. We're going to talk about methods and be thinking about different methods of evangelism. And that's talking about friendship evangelism, door knocking. We're going to talk about door knocking. Whoopee! And some other things. And we're going to talk about the motivation. What kind of motivation should we have? And what kind of motivation should we not have?